university life can be a bit of a maze, right? Don't worry. Campus Chronicles is here to be your guide. It's your go-to spot for tackling the big questions, sharing a laugh, and everything else that comes with navigating campus life. Think of it as the resource and the sounding board that I wish I had back in my uni days. And I am so excited to share it with you. My goal is to leave you feeling inspired, energized, and ready to chase after your boldest dreams. Let's jump in. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to the guest that we have today. His name is Andrew Kapp, and he is the founder of Awesome Marvelous Inc. Andrew, thank you for being here.
Brooke, thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be here and looking forward to wherever we might take this conversation.
Well, Andrew, I know we were talking before the episode and you have such a wealth of knowledge in your field. I'm really excited to dive into it. But before we get there, give us a little insight into who you are and your background.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because it's simple and complicated at the same time because, you know, who I am, my perspective is I'm an entrepreneur who's had many successes and failures, and I found my sweet spot to be if there's a part of my life, if there's a problem that I've solved and I'm interested enough to explore it, I basically have kind of made it my own mission to go down the road of our hopefully articulating something, a solution, an answer in a way that really connects with the person who's really in the middle and the thick of it and trying to sort it out. So most people know me for my book, The Last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read, because I'd gone down that road of reading book after book after book and always feeling like there was inadvertent conflicts of information and disagreements within the sphere. But then by that same token, I ended up selling so many of the books, over 100,000. People kept asking me, Andrew, how do you sell so many books? So then I deviated and I wrote a book called Three Words I Use to Sell 100,000 Books. So I went down that road. And then I kind of scratched that itch. And then I wrote a non-law of attraction, law of attraction book, which was basically geared to the person who might be interested in the content, but is very resistant to the term law of attraction. Maybe they have a bad taste in their mouth and, you know, they tried it, it didn't work, whatever it might be. And that's where I launched Just Feel Good. So it's just kind of like going and weaving in and out of those directions where if I hopefully can make a good contribution and a solid explanation that could facilitate an answer for somebody, that's what I'm all about.
I love that. I want to get interested in where you started to explore the law of attraction, because I've explored that myself. And to your point, it can be hard to wade through the information that's on Instagram that's not necessarily always vetted information or information. I know a lot of young people use Reddit. So some of the platforms that we can find it on do have a lot of that conflicting information, which leaves people demoralized. Where did you get started with law of attraction? Tell us about it from your perspective.
I learned the hard way and I learned old school because I think we're up to like, I don't know, 21, 22 years ago since I actually first discovered the law of attraction. And that was when I was, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young entrepreneur looking for the quote-unquote secret to happiness and success and all those things. And I think anyone that's listening that's been on a journey of searching for an answer, they can kind of relate, especially, you know, the internet and the algorithms. You will go down a rabbit hole and you will find different things. And law of attraction was one of many modalities that I kind of went down that road of exploring. And to be really candid, when I first started trying to sort through it, it was very hit and miss. There was a lot of success. There was a lot of failure. There was a lot of inconsistency. And I had a really rough lesson probably, I don't know, maybe 16, 17 years ago at this point, where I learned it wasn't the law of attraction that was inconsistent. It was I who was being inconsistent. And I had a really bad week. And I'm going to be really dramatic about this because...
Please do.
When we have bad weeks, we tend to be dramatic, right? I went through what felt like losing about 90% of my life. And the long and short of it was I was in about a 3-year relationship while simultaneously trying to get that company at the time off the ground. I was not giving the relationship the air and the attention that it required. And she was getting fed up. And I rightfully so, by the way, because I was not focused the way I should be. I was like, you know what? All right, this company's not working. I quit. I'm out. 3 days later, she breaks up over text. So it's like too little too late. And you know it's bad, by the way, when like it's not even a phone call or an in-person conversation, it's over text. So I'm like, okay, this is bad. I've wasted my 20s. No girlfriend, no relationship, no business, no livelihood, no nothing. And I was fortunate in that I was at least looking in the mirror and looking where the issue was and not blaming people outside of me. And I said, Andrew, something's got to change. And I had to make this answer a little more long-winded. I had a really weird simultaneous moment of indignation and epiphany where looking back on the 4 years prior when I was trying to sort things out, I realized that whenever I did that law of attraction thing and I didn't actually stop, it would start to work. And it only stopped working when I stopped doing it. So I said, you know what? I don't care what happens. I don't care when it happens, why it happens, how it happens. I don't care about any of that. I'm going to go all in with this thing once and for all. And I not only will I not be deterred by failure, but I won't be deterred by success, which probably sounds weird, but I think anyone can relate when you're starting to do something well, you're working out a new diet, it starts to work. There's that voice in the back of your head that says, you know what? You're doing so good. You could take a day off. You could take a week off. You could take your foot off the gas. I said, no, I'm going to do this. And by the way, when I say all in, I don't mean all day, every day, because I also had enough bad experience that you can't keep a smile on your face all day, every day. You can't keep in this perfect mood. And fortunately, I discovered you don't have to. All you need is 5 minutes a day focused on we'll call it a manifesting method, where you're feeling positive emotion while you're thinking about what you have or what you want or both. And I'll tell you, Brooke, it sounds like a movie. As soon as I made that decision, all these shifts began to happen. 2 weeks later, it sounded like I was perfect, but I felt way better than anyone with a broken heart had any business feeling. 3 months later, I'm in a way better, way healthier relationship, and I'm a more mature person, fortunately. 4 months later, I'm making more money than at any point in my life before then. And 6 months later, everything had changed. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm waking up happy and fulfilled. And like I said, I learned the hard, long way that this thing works if you work it. And whether you want to call it the law of attraction or anything else, all I know is that the process that people describe through the law of attraction, engaging in that, worked very well for me. And anyone who I've seen follow along that path, it's worked very well for them as well.
Mm-hmm. As you went through this journey, because that is an amazing story, that was so much less dramatic than I would have been if I told that story. I would have been crazy, Andrew. But I'm curious, when you went all in on this, were there days or moments of doubt? What did it look like for you to be all in? How did you keep going on the tough days?
So it's a great question, and it's so easy for me to say this now, but there was no doubt because I didn't care about success. And this is the critical part. I was so mad at myself for futzing around for 4 years. And I was so mad at myself for the implosion of this relationship and the implosion of my life that I was like, listen, it's not for me. It wasn't about good or bad. Like for me, a good day was, okay, Andrew, did you focus on these 5 minutes a day with real integrity? Yes. Okay. Well, you know what then? You have permission to have a bad day any other time. It's okay if something still goes wrong in your life. This doesn't mean that things are wrong because you discovered, you know, through all your hit and miss, all you have to do is stick for 5 minutes a day. And I know that sounds really extreme. Like, wait, I could have a great 5 minutes, but then the rest of my day can suck. Well, yes and no. And what I mean by that is, you know, you could see all these different studies, all these different things with people, you know, hooking up wires to people's brains, and people have determined with varying reporting that a positive thought or emotion can be anywhere from hundreds to even thousands of times as powerful as a negative emotion. And I think even people that are in the middle of a bad season in their life, if they actually look at themselves honestly, the whole day isn't bad for them. There are stretches that are bad. So if you actually sit down and you do the math of 5 minutes of positive emotion, it's going to very easily outweigh from a psychological standpoint, and if you believe in it, a vibrational and frequency standpoint of you are actually in the lead. It's kind of like any American football fans. If you drive the ball 8 yards and then you lose 2 yards on the next play, you're still up 6 yards. You're still up. And if you keep doing that, you keep thinking just 5 minutes a day, you're always going to be on your way to where the touchdown is inevitable.
Mm-hmm. What does the 5 minutes look like? Because I know it must look different for everyone. What did it look like for you when you started versus what it looks like today?
Well, the really cool thing is I've always been, I'm like a strategy guy, for better or worse. I'm very cerebral, for better or worse. And when I made that decision that I was going to do this no matter what, I'd already been, you know, again, this is 20 years ago or whatever, you know, there were still like forums. Like, it isn't, there's no Instagram, no TikTok, but there were forums and you could read and you could learn about methods and this and that. I had been aware of so many manifesting methods through books and all my other research. But I said, you know what, Andrew, because you ought to make sure that you don't miss on this, let's be strategic and realize that the way that you're really going to stick with this is if you actually genuinely enjoy it. It can't be a chore. It can't be an obligation. It can't be a burden. So what I strategically did was I took current manifesting methods and I tweaked them that would be right for me. And I made up new ones that were right for my sensibility, my psychology, my preferences. For example, you know, there's a thing people know about called scripting, where you journal about your life in the present tense as if you're living your dream life. And, you know, there's that theory that if you're writing it with your hand, it's making a deeper connection with your brain and it's actually more impactful. But that's only true if you're enjoying it. If you're the type of person when you're writing too much and your hand cramps up like me, the negative emotion that's associating, it's not going to outweigh what you could be accomplishing. So instead, you could type it. Well, if typing it is actually annoying because you have too many typos, you could actually speak it. So what it looked like then and now are very similar in the sense that everything I do is always something that I genuinely enjoy, so much so that I look forward to it. Again, that it's not like there's never a thing where it's like, oh, I got to do this again. Like, really? It's more like, oh, I get to do this. This is fun. I'm looking forward to this. So I actually talk about this in Just Feel Good, where like I articulate my daily method that I can deviate from if I want to. But the thing that always works for me is I pull out my phone and I record. I have an iPhone, so you know, I have the easy memo function. I record a couple of minutes of me just describing in the present tense all the things I'm grateful for. Maybe these are things that are in my life, or maybe these are things that I'm looking forward to, but I'm verbalizing as present tense. And I send that message to my friend across the country who does the same thing for me. And we kind of keep it. It's not that it's required, but again, I'm strategic. We keep each other accountable. I actually, before I got on this call with you, I saw his message come in. So I'm gonna listen and reply later. But the really cool thing is whenever I hear that message, whatever he says to me, I know it's going to inform and influence some of the things that I say back to him. So it's a really fun, interactive thing. But that's the most important thing is, again, I genuinely enjoy it. It's never a cumbersome burden to me. So that's how it looks and feels back then to now, even though I experiment with different methods and I give myself permission to try different things. It always looks like it's a positive, warm, welcoming experience for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And you're right about if it's something that you do look forward to, even on those days when you're down, you don't have a lot of emotional energy, you're going to be able to make it work. So I'm a big EFT tapper. If you know what that is, that's the thing that resonates for me and helps me get in my space. And I think there's a lot of people in my life who've had a lot of resistance to, they don't understand why I do it or why it's important to me. What do you say to people who want the benefits of enhancing and uplifting their life, but they're skeptical about this?
Let's take it back. Let's think about working out. Working out, I think anyone can agree that if they do it on a long enough timeline, there's going to be benefit there. But there's a problem with working out. Problem with working out is it's painful. It actually requires a legitimate focus and commitment. It's worth it. But it's a hard thing about, you know, your alarm going off at 5 a.m. and having to run to the gym before work. It's, you know, when you haven't eaten well, you haven't had your coffee, whatever it might be, a lot of times that gym is such an arduous experience. Whereas the cool thing about this is there's no downside. If I'm lying to you right now, Brooke, or I'm just delusional and I don't even know what I'm talking about, and none of this works in terms of manifesting, in terms of leading to results or leading to good things, the really cool thing is just taking out 5 minutes to feel positive emotion, physiologically speaking, and mentally and emotionally speaking, if nothing else, it's a win in and of itself. So even if there's none of these back end wins or experiences that you can get afterwards, just engaging the process in and of itself is the win for you. And that's why I tell people, like, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. All, like, imagine you could be worried right now about the economy, about the state of the world, or whatever it might be. But guess what? You at least take 5 minutes off from that. It's a break. Who would not want a 5-minute free vacation from whatever is annoying them that day? That's what I tell people.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. And it's so easy to worry about the state of the world, the state of the things that are going on, especially if you're a university student. It's easy to worry about the future. Am I going to get the internship I want? Am I going to get the job I want? Did I choose the right major? This plays very well to that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to give, you know, props and respect to university students, they in many ways are on the front lines of the types of experiences and the types of environments that lend themselves to anxiety. Because like you said, am I going to get into grad school? You know, are things going to work out? And I know that a lot of professors these days, they're very geopolitically aware. And whether you agree with their opinions or not, they're upset. And that cognitive dissonance, that's going to transfer over. And, you know, you're going to class every single day. And whether you agree with the person or not, either way, they're upset. You're in that space. So strategically speaking, it is of a huge benefit to say, okay, in the middle of all this, in the middle of wondering about my future and wondering how things are going to work out, let me give myself this gift. Let me give my body this gift. Because I guarantee anyone listening right now, if you were to take a minute real quick and stop and just breathe, you might realize that even listening to this message, and you notice I'm even slowing down my cadence a little because I get so excited, I speak really fast sometimes, but you probably noticed anyone listening, you were breathing really tight and really fast this whole time until I drew your awareness to it. Because that, in most situations, is our default state because we are motivated and we want to see the world be a better place and we want to have our success and our enjoyment. We are in this fight or flight state, and there is such a benefit of just taking a few minutes out and noticing and being aware. And, you know, people look at me and like, well, Andrew, you don't seem like a yogi type or anything like that. You don't seem very mystical. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm practical. And you don't need to be mystical to identify the value and the validity of this. You just have to be a strategic person and you have to be in your own experience. And you have to just take a breath and be like, okay, that was better. That was a nice little break from everything else that's been going on in my life. And there's so much power to that. I wish I can convey to people that even though there's power in that moment, there is so much cool stuff waiting on the tail end of that. When you do it for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 months, 4 months, awesome things happen. And a lot of times you almost have to be, you have to notice enough to say, oh, wow, this was because I started this new routine. Sometimes people won't even notice that that's the reason. They'll just take it, which, you know, good for you. But if you do this and good things start to happen, use it as an excuse, use it as a reason to keep going with it.
And you're right about just the escaping, because I think in university, you start to take on more responsibility than you had at home. And you start to take on a lot of different types of interpersonal relationships. So what you mentioned about relationships with your professors who may or may not be nervous about the state of the world, friendships, finding a friend group, and then romantic relationships, which you mentioned a little bit earlier in your thing, that's a lot of pressure to start to take on. And that's when much of this begins.
Yeah. And again, these students, they're on the front lines. Like, what an incredible gift to have self-awareness at this time in your life, everyone listening, because when you manage it at this level with everything coming at you, you're going to manage it so much better at the higher levels when you get into your 30s and you get into your 40s. And the problems don't vanish, they change, they shift. And because you will take on your 20s at this level of insight and self-awareness, it's going to carry over into so much more for you. And the really cool thing is you'll never really appreciate it because you're only going to know that you sorted things out now and things went better, as opposed to have not sorted them out now and seeing how chaotic things would have been from there.
I sorted my issues shortly after university. I think about a year or two after I graduated is when I sat down and I was like, okay, things are not working in my life and I have to find a way to sort it. And like you, all of the books, all of the webinars, all of the things. And not a lot of them stuck because I didn't feel a lot of resonance with what they were saying. But like you, I was able to find something that worked for me. Is it perfect? No. Is it flawless? Absolutely not. But it's something that I can feel honest and good about. And that's something I want to say to any listeners or viewership as well. Just like Andrew's saying, choose the thing that you feel good about doing. Don't choose something that feels too mystical or far out for you. Choose something that makes sense to your brain, makes sense to your body, and makes sense for your life. because that is how you stick with it.
Yeah. And if I may, Brooke, to offer a very, I mean, I know I mentioned my daily thing, a very easy, you know, again, I call it manifesting method, but if you don't care about manifesting, you don't have to do it. It's just a feel-good method. I call it, it's a gratitude blitz. And basically, again, students are busy. We're all busy. You know, all you do is you set a time for as long as you want. It could be 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it might be. And while that timer's kind of running, all you need to do is just sit back and think about things that you're grateful for in your life. And you can do it around a theme. You could do it around your body. You could do it around your relationships. You could do it around, you know, whatever's in the room with you, like, or you could just do a free for all. And it's one of those things where as you do it, like the first 20 seconds is not a big deal. The first 40 seconds is not a big deal. But when you start getting like 180, 200 seconds into it and you're actually thinking of stuff, you recognize that like in the midst of things in your life that are legitimately upsetting, like this isn't about ignoring stuff that's upsetting you, but in the midst of things that you wish you could change, there's still so much magic. And like, for example, like what do I have to be grateful for? Okay, well, I've got this device that I'm speaking to you on that I run my entire life on. I run my whole business on. I have this convenience. If I want to buy something, boom, I'm on Amazon. It's here this afternoon. You know, I have my wonderful healthy body, which I'm even right now, I'm working on with a coach of getting it in you know, better, stronger and in better shape. But I mean, I've got my hands, I've got my fingers, I've got my arms, my toes, my feet, my legs. I've got my heart, which I always say this, my heart has been beating in my chest every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year of every decade I've been alive, tirelessly and selflessly pushing blood, nutrients, oxygen to all the other parts of my body that serve me, my brain, my all my other organs, you know, just the air in my lungs. I mean, you know, just the flexibility and the convenience of getting where I need to go. You know, I know that like, I just like to stub my toe and like, oh, the pain. And then I'm limping. It's like, okay, you suddenly realize how great it was just to be able to walk very easily. You know, last year I slipped and fell and fractured my finger. And for someone like me who works so much and types so much, like the inconvenience that I went through, I quickly was reminded of like how lucky I am to have the use of my fingers and the use of my hands and what a gift they are. And again, I've just been rambling now, but like when you do gratitude blitz after gratitude blitz, like it just becomes natural for you. You're like, oh my God. And then you start remember your best friend from the second grade who covered for you when you tried to cheat on a test and they took the rap for you. Or you think about that mentor who went out on a limb and loaned you $1,000 because they really believed in you. Or whatever it might be, like all these favors, all these kindnesses that people have done for you, it is a never-ending thing to think about the things you'd be grateful for, regardless of how easy or difficult your life might be right now.
I love that because you showed us what that looks like in actual action with so many unique, different examples. I loved watching you do that because you really heard the passion in your voice as you went going. You heard how excited you got about it. And that's what I love is that you are excited about sharing this with us. And you guys, that was so easy to do. Andrew's making me feel like I need to get off and do it. Andrew's out here convicting, which is a good thing. Now, speaking of other things, there's a question I ask all of my guests, and I'm going to have to ask it to you. If you were going to give three pieces of advice, these can be about anything, to university students, what would those three pieces of advice be?
Oh, wow.
I know it's a tough one, isn't it?
It's so funny because whenever someone asks, like, this is a profound question. And whenever I get a profound question like this, my brain's interesting and like it shoots 20 answers at once. And I try to grab them like, oh, what's here? Okay, one piece of advice, and it's going to sound ridiculous, but I think sometimes the most insightful and helpful answers sound ridiculous on the surface until they're implemented. Just breathe. That's one piece of advice. And because when you just breathe, you regain your composure in whatever's going on. You think on your feet. You make a better decision about whatever's going on. Just breathe. Give yourself permission to breathe. Second piece of advice is, it's a cliche, but always keep your brain in the fitness state of being able to learn stuff. Because as you go on in your life, you're going to go down certain roads and you're going to get stuck and you're going to become an expert at certain things. But then it's going to feel silly to want to learn new things. But it's not even about learning the new things. It's about the ability to learn new things. Because you know, rest assured that wherever you go in your life, whatever job or career you have or business you do, the tools are going to change anyway. Like me, I don't know, like I understand AI, but I've still not gone down that process of like working through prompts. And I realize that's something I have to do because there's a lot I'm leaving on the table in terms of my ability to get things done because I'm not engaging in this process. So one is breathe. Two is just keep your brain of the fitness of being able to learn things, which is another way of saying, just for the sake of it, keep learning things. Whether it's a new language, like keep your brain nimble in that way. And then the third piece is kind of like just staying on brand here, is just take out, even if you can't do 5 minutes, just do 3 minutes, even 1 minute of gratitude every single day without a care or a requirement or an expectation of where it's supposed to lead you. Because again, just the process, just the activity in and of itself is so powerful. And it's a real gift and a real kindness to you on levels that you will not perceive. I don't perceive all the levels that it works for me. I know that it's working on levels that I can't perceive, and I know it's working on levels that I can. So breathe, keep yourself in a state of learning, gratitude every day for just a few minutes, and it will take you so much further in a way that you won't even thank me because you won't even realize how powerful they were at the time.
I love that. You know, I love that you said it's a kindness to you. We don't do those enough. So I love that so much. It's a really, really good phrase. It's something I think I'm going to start using.
Yeah, I please do. And like, it's actually something, Brooke, I've really been thinking about. Like, we practice trying to be kind and patient to others. And it's very, I'm trying to find the right words. Sometimes my brain loses it. It's like the ones and zeros. I forgot, like, it's like the buy something. Binary, you know what I mean? Like, it's very binary about the things. Like, we assume that, oh, if I'm being kind and patient for this person, then the switch for being kind and patient for myself is turned off. It could only be like, we assume wrongly that it could be one or the other, where it's like, if you're actually kind and patient with yourself, it's the best practice of dealing with others and having grace for others as well. So again, it's both strategic and helpful in and of itself to practice that kindness and practice that patience with yourself and whatever you're going through and whatever process or activity or endeavor that you are undertaking. There's just so much there for you that's really going to serve you well.
I love that. Now, speaking of a phrase, is there a quote, a mantra, a phrase that you live your life by and why?
I don't live by a phrase. I live by, now I'm like Vin Diesel from Fast and Furious.
I know. This is a hard question. I always ask this one too.
Well, I'm joking because I like Vin Diesel or Dominic Turley lives by a code, right? I live by a code. And my code is, it's a simultaneous rigidity and flexibility. And what I mean by that is I try to practice the art of remaining flexible, to always being open to a better way and a better answer, while at the same time carrying the discipline to be rigid in the things that work, rigid enough to stick with them until I find something better. So that's, again, it's not a mantra. It's not something where I wake up and I say something to myself every day. It's more like I wake up and I have this inherent commitment to myself to walk down these two divergent paths simultaneously and just try to make the most of it and realize that I'm not going to be perfect at it. And just the acceptance that I'm not perfect allows me to be a lot more powerful and achieve a higher level with it as I'm doing it.
I love that. As we wrap up here, if people are inspired by you, by their message, where do they go to find you?
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. AndrewCapp.com is a very easy URL. And basically, it's such a simple page. It's just going to load up links to my books on Amazon or my YouTube channel or whatever it might be. I try to keep myself like, okay, here's where to find me on Amazon because Amazon understands websites. Here's YouTube. YouTube understands websites. That's just the core little hub where they can find whatever they want on it. And I'll say one more thing. You know, if anyone wants to buy the book, awesome. But like, if you don't feel like pulling out your wallet, that's what my YouTube channel is for. Like, you can, I don't want anyone to feel like there's a paywall between my, like, me and my advice. Like, by all means, like, find whatever resource there that's worked for you. Like, all that I care about, it sounds so, you know, like a cliche, but all I care about is that, like, what I put out there will serve people, and all the other stuff takes care of itself anyway.
I love that. Andrew, I'm so grateful you came on here today. I loved watching your gratitude in action. It was so much fun. It was perfect for my Tuesday. As we wrap up, is there anything you want to say or share that I did not ask you as an ending question?
I just want to express my gratitude to you, Brooke, for inviting me and trusting me with your audience and just to your audience for listening. You know, like them taking, I don't know if they give themselves this kind of credit, like them taking the time out to listen to your episodes and listen to the information you share. That is a huge thing. And not everyone thinks to do that. Not everyone cares to do that. So just want to thank you for your care and your diligence in doing the show and for people that listen to it and listening to me today.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.